I want to continue to talk about, we've been talking about, what does God say about you? We said that he says that he's for you, that you're not condemned. He says you got the power. He says that you are mine. Last week we talked about you are mine, that we're not orphans, but God's adopted us. Not only adopted us and made us heirs, not just heirs, but joint heirs, equal heirs, the same share that Christ gets, which is all we get. We get all that Christ gets. That's an amazing concept to me. God says that he chooses you. He wants you. He wants you. He specifically went after you. He intentionally chose you. And now that we're in the family of God, we have an amazing father, an amazing family, an amazing fortune, and an amazing future. But also he says, hey, in order to receive all of that, we got to be willing to go through some of the sufferings of Christ as well, to be able to identify there. But he says, hey, you won't be able to compare the greatness that lies ahead for the little bit amount of suffering that we're going to go through in this life. So I want to continue on. And by the way, you can always get any of our messages on the app or at livingfaithfellowship.com, our website. I encourage you, though, get the app. Right now, if you don't have it, just do Living Faith Pullman. Get the app on there and flip through it around that. You'll get all of our messages, all of our stuff, everything that's happening at the church. Everything is going to be on that app. And so we encourage you to get that app. So if you wouldn't mind standing and reading with me as we continue through Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You may be seated. Another powerful section of Scripture. We're going to kind of dissect it and move through it. This wonderful chapter, the great eight in Romans chapter 8. He says here in verse 19, we'll pick it up. For the earnest expectation, that means the intense anticipation, this intense anticipation, earnest expectation of the creation. Now, how did the creation get in this? The word creation here is the universe as the product of God's activity in creation. All that God created, the earth, the plants, the animals, everything that God created. He's saying, for the earnest expectation of the creation, eagerly waits. What is it waiting for? For the revealing of the sons of God. The King James says, for the manifestation of the sons of God. The revealing, the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Well, remember earlier in verse 14, it said this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. By sons, he's talking about the family, daughters as well. He's not sexist here in the idea. He's talking about the people. He's talking about God's people. So the sons of God are those who walk in the Spirit. The Spirit of God, those who walk in the Spirit. It's us, folks. Spirit-led Christians, those who have the Spirit of God. It's those people throughout the world who know the power of Jesus Christ, who've accepted him as Lord and Savior, who are walking, allowing the Spirit of God inside of them to lead them, to guide them, to speak to them. They're hearing and obeying the voice of God as he speaks to them via the Spirit. Those people, those Spirit-led people, Christians, Christ followers. I think that's who he's talking about. He's talking about us here. The word manifestation, the revealing here, apokalypsis, and it means disclosure. It comes from another word, apokalypto, and it means to take the cover off. A disclosure, to take the cover off. if you will, if I went into a room and I was all bundled up and I had a bunch of stuff on and I just all bundled up, and all of a sudden I get into the place and then I started to take off my covering, my hat, my scarf, my mittens, my boots, my everything, and I uncovered, if you will, everything that was covering me up to kind of protect me, my own personal protection here. I uncovered it all, and now you get to see more of who I am. It's this revealing. It's this disclosure. It's this becoming, walking into something that we're supposed to be. I want to look at this in two fashions. I think there's two aspects to the manifestation of the sons of God. There's a present and a future aspect of this. Let me talk about the future aspect first. The manifestation of the sons of God as an end time revelation, signifying the dawning of a new day in heaven and the return of the Lord. It's when the Lord comes back, and however all that fits in. And I'm not trying to get into an eschatological discussion here this morning. But it's talking about the end, right before it's all done and we're going to heaven. There's this aspect of the fullness of what Christ has prepared for us to become a living reality, to be walking in the fullness of what God has for us. But I think there's another spot. So, and we can all put that off. Hey, someday, you know, everything's going to be great. Someday we'll be reaching. Someday we'll be in glory. Someday everything will be great. And we all talk about someday, 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 and we push everything off to someday. And we talk about salvation. We talked about sanctification. Well, someday. And no sin. Well, someday. And all this idea. Someday all that great stuff will happen. But I think God is saying, but what about today? What are we walking in today? I think there's a present day reality of this too. I think God is longing for us to be who He created us to be now. I understand the totality of it without the enemy, without the devil. It will be fully revealed, fully understood, fully disclosed. It's going to be awesome, man. But we as Christians can't always point to someday, 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 because God says, what about today? Where are you today in your walk with the Lord? Where are you today in your sanctification? Where are you today in saying no to yourself? Where are you today in being led by the Spirit? Where are you today in allowing me to disclose all of myself in you? I think God is longing for us to be who He created us to be now. Let me look at it like this. It's the aha moments we get as Christians as we begin to understand God's plan and provision for us today. Let me say it again. It's the aha moments, that revelation. It's the aha moments we get as Christians as we understand God's plan and provision for us here and now. I had an aha moment when I realized that He paid the penalty for my sin and He saved me, and that I could walk a different way. I had a bunch of aha moments of what it meant to change my life. But the aha moments are not supposed to stop. We're supposed to be having aha moments all the time. And the more you become senior, you have a lot of those aha moments. Aha, oh. And you know, you can't have, let me say it this way. I think the proportion of aha moments in your life are in direct relation to how much you spend in here. You want some more aha moments in your life? Spend some more aha time in here. When you spend some aha time in here, you get some aha moments in your life. We need to be in this. We need to be in the Word of God. That's why we encourage everybody, read it every day. Read it every day. Read it every day. We give you a Bible app. It's on our app. A revelation of who we are in Christ now. Take off the cover, especially from our own minds. We don't see ourselves the way God sees us. We need to start looking at ourselves that way, believing ourselves that way. Have you ever seen the movie Fixer Upper? Or not the movie, but the show Fixer Upper? Seen that show Fixer Upper? Where all of a sudden, you know, it's a Christian family, I believe, that puts it together, and they take an old junker and make it beautiful. I think we got some pictures there and they do this big reveal. It's like, you know, here's the old house, they pull it away, and all of a sudden you see what could be out of this piece of junk, all of a sudden something beautiful, something wonderful. And the expression on the people's faces is like, oh my gosh, aha, look what you did. Look what you did. You changed my life. You've changed our home. You've changed. And it's been absolutely incredible. An aha moment here, but taking an old junker and making it beautiful, this reveal, this is this word manifestation, this reveal, this is the way it was, but this is now how it is, and this is more of what it can be, and I think there's where we are. Here's where we were, lost in sin. We were a junker. We were an old junk house. Everything falling off. It was awful. But Jesus Christ came in, and via his Spirit, he did a makeover. He did a makeover. He took this old junker and he made it something wonderful. Do we understand who we are today? I think we're far short of the provision that God has given us. We're not walking in the total provision of what we have now. I understand that later there's a whole bunch more happening, a greater revelation, a greater reveal, a greater manifestation, sure, at that very end when the final blow is done. It's going to be awesome. But I think right here we walk more over here than we do right here in our life. And I think what he's trying to say is all of creation's going, hey, hey, hey. Get going, come on. I was good, but now I'm redeemed. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was a junker, but now I'm fixed up, and God wants to use me. He wants to use you to much more potential than what you're walking in today. Do you believe what God says about you? Do you understand who you are in Christ? That you can do all things. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to step into who Christ has made us to be. Step into it. You demand, or I should say, you da spiritual man, spiritual woman. We need to shake off the junk, the old rust, the bust it up, and walk in the revelation of what Christ has done for us. And then allow that to affect every connection and person that we are connected to. You see, when Christ fixed you up and he changed you, he then gave you a mission to go out and be him in the earth today that we might touch so many other people's lives. He didn't do great things and fix you up so that you could sit there, you by yourself, and enjoy your house. He wanted you to have company over. Company. He wanted you to have them over. We were listening to someone who said, you know, in the olden days where somebody ring your doorbell and all of a sudden the whole family would come and run and they would get out cake, and just when guests came over, it was just a wonderful experience. Nowadays, if someone rings your doorbell, we hide and pretend like we're not there. Shh, quiet. We become so selfish. And I think the idea of us in our Christianity is the same way. Are we just sharing with everybody? Are we letting the goodness of God that's inside of us through his Spirit out today? Or is someday we'll be that person? I think that someday is supposed to be today. All of creation is waiting for you to be who you were created to be, to fulfill your God-given calling. All of creation is eagerly waiting in anticipation for the revealing or the ta-da of the sons of God. All of creation is rooting for you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. The rocks, the hills, the grass, the animals, the oceans, the lakes, everybody, they're all, hey, hey, come on. Be what God called you to be. They're groaning out. anticipating, excited. We'll talk more about why that is. For you to be who you're supposed to be. Creation is excited, waiting. Come on, get it. Get a clue. Come on, get some more ahas. Come on, get an aha here about who you are. They're rooting for you. All of creation is eagerly waiting for you to become all that God has designed for you to be. I love Psalm 139. When I think about that design, what does this design look like? It says this starting in verse 13. Think about, this is you. He's talking about you now. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now that's a powerful thought. Such a destiny for us. He was involved in putting you together in your mother's womb. He knew you then, before you were put together. He knew you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. He created you and knew you in the womb. You see, you were once an idea in the mind of God Almighty, and God only has great ideas. And think about it. He only has great ideas. He doesn't say, well, that was a bad idea. Not going to do that again. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. Every idea that he has purpose, has destiny, and it's good. It's good. And you know what? When he was forming you in the womb, you were a great idea. But it didn't stop with just a great idea. You were the physical manifestation of God's eternal plans and purposes as you came into being. The idea took reality. He knew you in the womb. He knew you in the womb before you were born. That's why I'm against abortion. I'm so thankful for the Palouse Care Network and all that they do, helping mothers make different choices rather than they're just kind of stuck about what am I going to do, what am I going to do, what am I going to do. They don't know what to do and they take the easy way out and it's hard. And if you have been here and you've had an abortion, which a lot of women have, I understand that. Let me say this, there's no condemnation on you. I'm thankful that God forgives. I'm thankful for the grace of God that we can keep moving on, keep going. I'm thankful for his forgiveness because you realize I've done a bunch of horrific things myself. And I'm thankful for the grace of God. But I'm thankful for life. God's plans for you started before you were even born. While still in your mother's womb, he knew you. God in every part of creation is eagerly waiting in joyful anticipation for you to be everything that he has called you to be from the womb. You were destined before you ever took a breath. You were destined before you ever took a breath. He had a plan, a calling, and a purpose. Spirit-led Christians doing spirit-led things, fulfilling the call of God on your life. You are not an accident. You are not an oops. But you have been intricately designed by God. Right on the back. You guys can't see it, but on the very back here, it says made by God. It's there. You were made by God. You weren't made in China or Taiwan or even in America. You're made in heaven by God. made by God. You know, all countries make great stuff. All countries make great stuff. Certain things, man, they're famous for stuff. God's famous for making people. Actually, he's famous for making anything. He does great stuff no matter what. He's got great ideas. He made you. He made you. He made you. And then he purposed you with a destiny. Then he said, go fulfill it. Hey, take off. Take off the coat. Become vulnerable and take off your outer layers and allow him to touch you in the depths of your heart and to cause you to walk in the way he wants you to walk. I think one of the design purposes that he has for us is to bring heaven down to earth. I love what it says in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, say it with me, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. So wait a second. He wants the same thing done in heaven down here. Is that how you guys read that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. I don't think up in heaven he's going, oh my gosh, we got a commotion going on here. Hey, 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 hey! Knock it off. I think there's great stuff happening in heaven. And he wants the great stuff happening here. We are praying that earth would become the mirror image of heaven. We're praying that earth would become the mirror image of heaven. From the locker room to the boardroom to the classroom. Everywhere. Living it out. Making it real. The reality of what it means to have Jesus Christ inundating your life. What it means to walk as a Spirit-filled Christian. Allowing the Spirit to guide you. Listening to his voice and not to your own drummer. But to the drummer who is Jesus Christ our Lord. And following him in step, in sync. Because you know he has a great plan for your life. Are we praying for a manifestation of God's presence? God's glory in our zip code? I found the solution to every problem is found in the presence of God. God showing up. It's amazing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're in a fire. It's getting really hot. Oh no, we're done. And then Jesus shows up. You see, when Jesus shows up, everything's good. He changes everything. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were no longer on fire. At least a natural fire. They had a spiritual fire going on. I'm just saying when God shows up, he changes everything. I want the Spirit to move. We live out our faith Monday through Saturday, but worship is what jumpstarts us and our spiritual battery. That's why we come on Sunday, to get jumpstarted. Hopefully to have me challenge you in something. To challenge you to be who God's called you to be. To worship and allow his presence to speak to us. The words that were spoken were amazing because they were talking about the idea of more, and he has more for us. The expectation of creation. They're just giddy with excitement. Like a little kid on Christmas. Remember Christmas? I used to get up at like 4 o'clock. Dad, Mom, I think it's time. No, it's not. Go back to bed. 4:30. Dad, Mom, I think it's time. Go back to bed. I love Christmas. I love just so giddy when it happens, even now. Creation is giddy with excitement and anticipation. For yeah, the then, but they're also rooting for us now. Hey, you can walk better than that. Yes, you can. You can deny yourself that. You can. Spirit of God's inside of you. Greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. I know that the world is tempting you, but you got to remember that he that's in you, which is the Spirit of God that's inside of you, is greater than the world. Therefore, you have more power than that temptation has over you. Therefore, walk a different way. Oh, well, someday I'll get there. No. God wants us to change today. The expectation of creation, it creates optimism. Oh, man, creation is optimistic. I love Helen Keller. She became the first deaf-blind person to earn a bachelor's degree. Remember, he's at birth. How do you even learn a language, let alone figure it out, and then figure out how to sign it, and then figure out... Incredible to me. I love that movie, The Miracle Worker. She also authored a dozen books, including a manifesto on her philosophy of life, which was optimism. Okay, now listen. She's deaf and blind and optimistic. You got your sight, your strength. You got so much going for you. And we get pessimistic sometimes. And then she wrote books. She's deaf and blind. She's writing books. Glory to God. She said, no pessimist ever discovered the secrets of the stars. The last page of her book echoes the first page of Scripture. Optimism is the harmony of man's spirit and the Spirit of God pronouncing his works good. Oh, it's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. I created man. That's good. Very good. Are we optimistic about the world we're living in? Are we optimistic about what we're doing in that world? Are we optimistic about being the expression of Christ in the earth today? Are we just giving up like everybody else is? The Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is within you, then optimism is the order of the day. God created you to be optimistic because he placed his Spirit inside of you. There will be a someday, but we're not just banking everything on the someday, although it's going to be a great someday. But God says, I want you to live today. Today. In the fullness of my expression. Interesting, Pastor Joe, you know you've had eye surgery. And all of that, you know, so he's gone through a whole battle with that. Do you know that your retina alone conducts close to 10 billion calculations every second? 10 billion calculations every second. At least that one does. The left one is about, it's behind a little bit right now. It's way behind. It's only about a billion. The other one's at 10, that one's at a billion, but we're hopefully going to get it up there, okay? 10 billion calculations. Can you imagine if you had to make those? Okay. Close down pupil a little bit. Turn to the left over there. I want to see him. Turn left. Eyeball. I mean, it's just... We lost. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're so complex, yet so... amazingly simple. And God loves you so much. And he has a great plan for your life. Why is creation waiting eagerly? Let's go to verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility. Look what's happening here. The creation was subjected to futility or frustration. Not willingly. They didn't will this or want this, but because of him, God, you're speaking of, who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now let me explain. Let me explain what that's saying. Remember that the earth was cursed when Adam fell. All of it was cursed. It was a curse on the ground and everything. It's fallen. The world is broken. We're in a broken and fallen world. And the earth and the world and the universe, it understands that. And it's looking forward to being released from that curse because there will be a day. That someday is going to be great for creation. So it cries out for the sons of God to be revealed, for us to step up and do what we need to do, for the fulfilling of God's plan to come, for the frustration to be removed as we move into the future. God had cursed the physical creation as part of his judgment on people for sin. This was not a voluntary subjection because the created world as such had no choice. Instead, it was a decree of God, the sovereign creator, who subjected it. And yet it was in hope. That is, in anticipation of a coming day when the frustration would be removed. You have to understand, when Adam fell, everybody suffered for that. Us, down the line with a sin nature, but the scripture is saying it's all creation because it's now a broken world that we're in. Delivered from corruption, it says here, into what? Continuing on, it says, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans. There's three groans in here. Creation is groaning. Believers are groaning. The Holy Spirit is groaning. There's three of them in this passage. We'll get to some of it next week. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. When God finished his creation, it was a good creation, remember? And it's good. It's very good. But today, it's a groaning creation. It's groaning. There's a suffering and death and there's pain, all of which is, of course, the result of Adam's sin and fall. At the cross, we were redeemed from the penalty of the curse, but we still live under its effects. We were redeemed from the penalty of the curse, but in this world, we still live under the effects. Death, decay, dying, crying, hurt, pain, angst, all of those things are not found in heaven. And there will be a day when the full manifestation of the sons of God will happen. At that day, when creation's going to go, hallelujah! Woohoo! And we'll be fully redeemed. Creation's sympathizing with us, but it's also longing to be emancipated from what man did to it. Creation is waiting like a mother in birth pangs is joyfully waiting the anticipation of birth. That's where creation's at, waiting for you to be who God called you to be. Continuing on in verse 23. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. First fruits. Its etymology is an agricultural, referencing Israel's two harvests. After the first harvest, the Israelites would take a first fruits offering into the temple. And then, according to Levitical law, as long as they did that, gave this first fruits up, all of a sudden, the second harvest, there'd be another harvest, would be a plentiful harvest. Because they were blessing God with the first thing that happened. They knew it came from God. Farmers today know that it comes from God. But this is not us giving the first fruits. It's God giving the first fruits to us. It's not us giving it to God. God's given it to us. The first fruits. The first fruits of His Spirit. The Spirit is the first fruits, a taste of our full redemption. The Spirit that we have walking in us and helping us and changing our life is a taste, is a first fruits of what's yet to come. There is more to come. And what is to come is awesome and wonderful, but He also wants us to walk in the fullness of what we have now. And He gave us the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that more is to come. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. A guarantee. The first down payment as a guarantee that there's more to come. You have to realize that what we're walking in now in the Spirit of God and walking as a Spirit-filled life is just a taste of what God has in store for us. I want a bigger taste. We get satisfied with a sip. God wants us to have a bigger taste. A guarantee of what? The Spirit gives us a guarantee of more to come. The Spirit does. Remember, the Spirit is the guarantee. It's connected with the Spirit that comes inside of us, okay? That's the guarantee. That's the excitement. That's the power. That's the everything. And it's just a taste. A guarantee of what's to come. I said this on Wednesday, that some treat the Holy Spirit like the third wheel and not the third person of the Trinity. We treat the Holy Spirit as the third wheel and not the third person of the Trinity. If you don't honor the Holy Spirit, you dishonor the Father and Son, their family. They're three in one. And this, we operate at two-thirds capacity. We operate at two-thirds capacity for not allowing the Spirit of God to have His way in our life and do what He wants to do. We're supposed to be filled with that Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. But you can't be filled with the Spirit if you're full of yourself. Well, I'm filled, but I'm filled with Phil instead of the Holy Spirit. We need to empty ourselves of us, and that happens through repentance, and then take in the fullness of the Spirit of God. We need Him more and more and more each and every day. We need to be filled. And that word, be filled, is a present imperative verb, which indicates continuous action. It's like a gas can. A gas tank in a car needs to be filled up again. How many people here have only filled up once so far this year? You get some good gas mileage out there? I filled up once. I'm doing great. No, we got to fill up and fill up again and fill up again and fill up again. If the Spirit needs to be refilled in our life. Now hear this. It needs to be refilled, 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 refilled. The problem is if we just kind of get a little bit of the Spirit of God and allow Him to walk a little bit in our life and we're not daily allowing the Spirit to refill itself in our life, then all of a sudden we start getting callous to all the things that are happening in life. We start getting cynical about things because we're not living and alive with the Spirit of God breathing in our soul. Now let me say this. We need to fill up with the Spirit every day, unless you're not driving your car. Hear that? If you're not driving your car, you don't need to fill up. If you're not driving your car, then you're not doing what God wants you to do. Oh, I don't need any more. I think I'm full. No, you see, the idea of doing depletes the tank, and that's why we fill up again. The idea of giving away in and out, 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 the Holy Spirit alive in us. Are you driving your car? Let me bring this down to a conclusion. More than 100 years ago, General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, one of the largest distributors of humanitarian aid in the world, said this 100 years ago. 100 years ago. The chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit, because it will be form without power. It'll be Christianity without Christ. Oh, we just want to do good. Be nice. Don't offend anybody. Don't take a stand for nothing. Just be, put a smile. No, no, no. Jesus doesn't want to necessarily offend. But when you stand up for righteousness, sometimes people will get offended. Not intentionally. Forgiveness without repentance. Oh, God just loves you. Don't worry. Oh, yeah, He loves you, but you got to ask Him to forgive you. He will. Instantly. Oh, you're just fine the way you are. No, you're not. You're all great, but you're not fine the way you are. Neither am I. I need to change. I need the Holy Spirit's power now so I can be more of what He wants me to be today. Salvation without regeneration. Politics without God. Oh, God. Give us Christian men. Heaven without hell. That's a big theology today, universalism. Oh no, everybody's going to make it. Don't worry about it. Just do whatever you want. We're all going. No, we're not if we don't reserve a ticket. Invite Him into our life. Then we are. Groaning Even we ourselves, the believer, groans within ourselves. We groan as we look at the devastation of sin in the world and what it does in our own life. We're eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for it to come full circle. Among Romans, there were two parts to the act of adoption, one a private arrangement between the parties and the other a formal public declaration of the fact. Last week, we talked about that adoption. It was kind of the former of that, about the privilege, the private arrangement. And here in verse 23, the apostle speaks of waiting for the adoption. The servant has been adopted privately, but he is waiting for the formal public declaration of the fact, the celebration that will happen. Redemption of the body. He wants to transform us. There's more to come. There's more to come. Now and later. There's more to come now and later. Father, I pray that we would catch your heart for us, and that is you have so much for us. We so walk in so little of what you've given us. We don't appropriate it. We're ignorant of your gifts. We're ignorant of so many things. Lord, we want to enjoy putting the pedal to the metal, getting thrown back in the seat, enjoying the run and rev. That engine. But sometimes we just don't push hard enough. We just don't get on our knees enough. We just don't read your word. We just get lost in the things of this world. Help us, Lord. Forgive us. Get us back into your word, back into prayer, back into the things of your spirit, that we might enjoy the rev and rumble of the engine of the Spirit of Christ that you have placed inside of us, that we might peel out, spin a few donuts, and enjoy the power. We so desperately need it. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to receive without rebuffing the fullness of the Spirit and what you want to do in us. In Jesus' most wonderful, humble, and powerful name, we pray. There's more to come, and we're going after it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know the Lord, come on up here. We'll pray for you to receive Christ. And don't think, well, I'll do it some other day. You may not get another day. You're not guaranteed tomorrow, but you do have today. Today, if you hear his voice, come. If you need healing for something, come. Whatever's going on, come. Let's pray for you. Let's allow the Spirit of God to do something inside of you to transform and change us. God has more. Let's go out and get it. And then let's enjoy it and rev up those engines. Amen. Love you guys. You're dismissed.